Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Will Reeve. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on the Biden administration's student debt relief program. Missouri is among the GOP-led states suing to block the plan to forgive up to $20,000 in federal student loans. The plaintiffs claim the forgiveness plan will mean less money for its loan authority programs. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
If the Supreme Court sides with Missouri and says that those sort of far-removed injuries are still sufficient, it could lower the bar for other states to challenge the federal government. And that's something that the Solicitor General has said could open the floodgates in a way to more state challenges to Biden administration policies, really any presidential policy, simply because they don't like it or disagree with it.
Consumer confidence dipped for a second straight month. It's a leading signal for the Fed as it weighs another rate hike to help tame inflation. Residents in Northern California are bracing for another round of snow. And in Michigan, tens of thousands are still without power after last week's ice storm. Storms across the country have led to more than 500 flight cancellations today. This is ABC News. It's election day in Chicago, and a number of candidates are trying to take the job away from the city's boss.
Last spring, Chicago's first black, openly gay woman mayor addressed violence in her city.
I'm urging these young people to put the guns down.
Like a lot of other big cities, crime is the top issue for voters in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot is running against eight other candidates in Tuesday's nonpartisan election, including her closest rivals, former Chicago schools chief Paul Vallis, Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia, and Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson. No candidate is expected to get more than 50% of the vote, so an April runoff is likely. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
On Capitol Hill, a hearing tonight with the newly formed House Select Committee focused on China. An eye mask may be the key to a good night's sleep. Researchers say wearing an eye mask to bed can improve memory, alertness, and cognitive function the next day. And studies show that one factor of disrupted sleep is ambient light. Researchers say an eye mask can help keep out that ambient light, which can harm sleep patterns. Will Reeve, ABC News.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Home sales in Wisconsin are down 34% compared to a year ago. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says people bought and sold about 3,100 homes in January. Realtors point to fewer available homes, higher prices, and higher interest rates. The median price for a house in Wisconsin is $250,000. The Green Bay woman accused of chopping up a man to death after a day of drugs and sex last year is getting a new lawyer. Taylor Shabusiness attacked her last lawyer in court 2 weeks ago. It happened during a hearing to decide if she's competent enough to stand trial. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Five hours of special spring primary election coverage. A dozen reporters, hosts, and political experts tracking results for you around Wisconsin.
Everything from your local races to the Supreme Court.
Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly moving on to the general election.
Coverage you won't find anywhere else. And we're doing it all again for the important general election in April.
Elections or anytime, we're here for you. Your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is he's never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that my brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. We'll be right back. Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I've talked about, the stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
My Shiro doesn't always wear a cape, but she always has time for a hug, a smile, for going the extra mile. My Shiro stretches every dollar, puts in long hours, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. When you're ready to retire, we want you to be able to enjoy it. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceretirement.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome. Happy Tuesday here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to this fine program across the Civic Media airwaves here in the state of Wisconsin. Broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side. For Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM. And around the state, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, and so many more. If you want to check out the complete station coverage map for Civic Media, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. Got Evan on the board. How you doing on this Tuesday afternoon, E?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It's awfully nice out.
It's one of those, again, unseasonably warm days for late February. This one not dropping 2 inches of rain on the state, or depending on where you were. 2 inches of rain in the Milwaukee metropolitan area yesterday, leading to some sewage overflows. But here seems like it's a nicer one. Hopefully drying out, getting some sunshine, yeah. Vitamin D that way on Tuesday afternoon.
Dig it.
Yeah. We won't complain about a day like this, but it is still something to collectively have some cause for concern, and we're going to talk about climate change again today from a different angle, coming up later in the show, talking about what climate change may mean for the craft brewers here in Wisconsin. Got a really interesting piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that we're going to dive into a little bit later in the show, and at 2:30, going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, independent journalist from the Milwaukee area. Going to be joining, talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court and what's going on over at Fox quote-unquote news. I don't know exactly what we're going to call it these days, because it seems like from revelations last night, they're okay with knowingly spouting lies from their board down. They're okay with that. And so going to have a conversation with Dan Schaefer about that coming up later in the show at 2:30. But today, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing, they've now heard oral arguments in the case surrounding two lawsuits brought against the Biden administration's student loan forgiveness program. And really, it's hard to see exactly where this one's going to go, Evan. The court is a 6-3 majority for the conservatives. And so they tend to rule with the shadow docket.
I'm worried about it. Even the Biden administration, they haven't backtracked, so to speak.
No, they're standing by their guns. They're saying that they, by the letter of the law, they're very confident in their argument. Because if you read the HEROES Act from the early 2000s,
yeah.
If you read it to the letter of the law, which is what conservatives say they want,
Conservatives say that you should read the law as it is, not as you would want it to be. And the letter of the law allows the U.S. Department of Education, during a time of emergency, like declared during the COVID-19 pandemic, to be able to forgive debt. And so, by the letter of the law, the Biden argument is pretty sound.
And the pandemic created an emergency, an ongoing emergency, right? Just because people aren't dying, you know, by the tens of thousands doesn't mean...
Well, the debt was forgiven during that's right. the state of emergency declared by the federal government.
And people still feeling the fallout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially if you're immunocompromised or you've had long COVID. If you are still suffering from ramifications from contracting COVID-19, say 2 years ago, and you're still dealing with the health effects of those and you're not back to your regular routine, absolutely. If that long COVID is affecting you in a negative impact, it absolutely could include hindering your ability to work.
And there's knock-on effects. I mean, we have been forever changed. Forever changed.
Yeah, it was a nexus. It was a nexus point here in the United States and globally, and so the Biden administration arguing before the U.S. Supreme Court earlier today, reading from a piece over at CNN.com, takeaways from the Supreme Court oral arguments in cases challenging Biden's student debt relief plan, and so again, it's very hard to tell how this court is going to act. It has used the shadow docket when it does not when. A majority of the conservative-leaning justices do not want to put their names to an order or go through the regular court process. They will use the shadow docket. I do not know if that is going to be an avenue that they take, but it's absolutely a possible avenue they could take with this case. But Amy Coney Barrett, the judge that was then a judge, now justice, jammed through while people were voting in the 2020 election. She seems maybe skeptical that the red states, six red states suing the Biden administration, saying this is an unlawful act. And she seems skeptical through oral arguments today that they even had the legal standing to do so. And so it will be interesting to see. But even if, say, the liberal-leaning justices persuade Justice Amy Coney Barrett away from striking down the Biden plan, there still would need to be one more justice swayed of the conservative majority to rule with the liberal justices on the U.S. Supreme Court in this case. But it will be pretty interesting to see. The Supreme Court on Tuesday heard oral arguments and two challenges to President Joe Biden's student debt relief plan, with several conservative justices appearing skeptical of the government's authority to discharge millions of dollars in federal held loans. So that shows that most of the conservative justices, that's reading from the piece over at CNN, are skeptical of the Biden administration's platform, even though the Biden administration is very consistently backing the letter of the law that they believe they have this authority.
And they do. I mean, by the letter of the law, they do. That's not to say that there isn't some sort of argument that can be made, you know, in contrast. You can make the argument, but they have the through way here. We should be able to make these changes.
It will be interesting because one of the things surrounding standing is you have to present harm. You have to say, how are you being harmed by this? And one of the conservative states suing, Missouri, has the argument that they're the entity that oversees loans in the state of Missouri, MOHELA. I don't know what the entire acronym stands for, but it's the Missouri entity that services loans in the state, gives Missouri standing. So they're arguing, well, this other guy over here is harmed, so I'm going to argue the case on their behalf. And some of the justices did question, well, why is that individual not bringing the suit then?
Yeah, it's interesting to see these sort of, you know, these stand-in arguments for something like this. It's for the good of the country. It's for the good of everybody.
For the good of the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and there are two lawsuits before the U.S. Supreme Court. One of them by two individuals saying that they are harmed because they didn't qualify for the program. So very much that old argument, Evan, that it's like, oh, well, I didn't directly benefit from this federal program, so therefore this federal program should not exist. Just because, you know, farmers are the only ones that receive aid from the farm bill, does that mean it is unconstitutional for Congress and the president to pass and sign a farm bill? No, It's not. It's not how it works.
I didn't receive PPP loans.
Yeah. Robin Voss and a ton of other Republican lawmakers didn't have a problem accepting that federal subsidized PPP loan, and they cashed those checks to the bank, and now you've got six conservative states suing the Biden administration for a program that will provide debt relief for nearly 45 million Americans.
And I seem to remember the complainants in that argument accepted PPP loans, not even just Robin Voss. I'll look it up here. I'll find it. But those two that you were just talking about took PPP loans themselves.
Yeah, and it is very, very interesting that they're fine when the government handout is geared towards them, but anybody else getting help from the government, that's socialism. Not socialism when they get the assistance, but socialism when other people they don't like get the assistance. And that's the pretty wilding effect, because this could be transformative. Nobody was criticizing the Trump administration for pausing student loan payments during the COVID-19 pandemic. Nobody criticized him for extending that pause several times throughout the Trump administration. But now that the Biden administration used the pause and now wants to return two payments for the federal government to receive loan payments again on this publicly financed student debt, but in the process of restarting that process, wants to forgive those up to $10,000 for most borrowers or $20,000 for individuals that receive Pell Grants, now conservatives have a problem with it, even though it was, again, law passed during the Bush administration that would give the federal government this authority to do so. And so it's going to be very interesting. There's not really a timetable on when this decision is going to come before the U.S. Supreme, when the U.S. Supreme Court will announce its decision from this hearing, but if it's the shadow docket, it could be coming soon. It may not be until later this summer.
They're going to slow walk it.
You think it's going to be slow walked?
Yeah.
What makes you think that they want to slow walk this one, Evan?
It's the opportunity. It's a good opportunity. This one is so juicy, right? They can really get people riled up. It's one of those. It's useful to them.
It's useful.
Yeah, they'll be able to sort of trot this one around.
But they won't be able to delay it into 2024. This isn't going to be one. This won't be one that they can get it that far down the road. I believe a decision would have to come this term. And
you're right. There comes a point when it's not useful to slow walk it, you know?
Right. So yeah. I have a feeling, if anything, it may be a quick shadow docket. If Amy Coney Barrett is not swayed, if Justice Barrett is not swayed, I have a feeling it's going to be coming through a shadow docket decision. But you're right, it does rile people up. Like somebody we haven't heard from in a little while. Seems like the phone's working today, though. We got CJ calling in. CJ, what's on your mind this Tuesday afternoon?
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen, because usually you won't.
Yeah, you haven't called in a real long time, CJ, and I do take you until you start spouting nonsense. We got about a minute to the break. What's on your mind?
Well, this is unconstitutional. It's real easy.
Why?
This is about buying votes, and that's why young students 18 to 35 are all for it. But the mere fact is that this was designed for military people who served, not students making up to $250,000 a year and some janitor paying for their education.
It's not some janitor paying for it. It's the federal government prioritizing it in the budget, CJ.
I wish I made $250,000 a year. Oh,
it's not
nice.
Even that. Most 90% of those affected make less than $75,000 a year. But CJ, again, you must be listening too much to that Fox Entertainment, because we're not going to use the N-word in regards to news for Fox anymore, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You are listening to your local civic news.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostovsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Not right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostovsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostovsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
the devil's advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
Six pack of confidence. Been so many nights since we first met. Glad to see you brought all your friends for another night of Plastic Cup Politics.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go. You can jump from station to station. Listen to all the excellent programming around the state of Wisconsin, including the Todd Alba Show, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Jane Matinere, Devil's Advocates, and so many more. You can download the app wherever fine apps are downloaded on your smart device. Civic Media. Just search that in the App Store, and it'll download. Or the Google Play Store. If you want to share a tangent, be like CJ, share your point of view on something, 844-967-2789. It is an interesting dynamic, as you alluded to, Evan, that CJ wants to argue, well, it's unconstitutional. Student loan forgiveness, that's not what the HEROES Act was intended for. If it was truly intended for that, the Congress, when it wrote the law, could say that it was only for individuals that served in the U.S. Armed Forces.
They wouldn't have called it the HEROES Act.
And so it literally would have stipulated for that if that was the only intention of that law. But the Biden administration knows that the Department of Education has the ability to discharge debt as it sees fit during a state of emergency that the COVID-19 pandemic caused.
And the wording is even pretty intense. It vests the Secretary of Education with expansive authority to alleviate the hardship that federal student loan recipients may suffer as a result of a national emergency.
And it doesn't say that that emergency has to be war. It does not say that emergency has to be only for individuals fighting overseas. It doesn't say any of that. It says anybody with federal student loan debt.
With expansive authority.
Yeah. So it's pretty clear. But again, we saw all throughout 2022 as maps were being redrawn that this court is fine getting involved, even though the legal gray areas of some things, like, I don't know, a made-up principle of maps of least change was the basis of a conservative argument, the U.S. Supreme Court has fine wading into the politics and tossing it out. Before we get over to this story about climate change and craft brews here in Wisconsin, let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Jack in Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this Tuesday afternoon?
Well, first of all, people like CJ and a lot of other people also have to understand some of the facts that exist around this loan forgiveness situation. Public colleges and universities used to be supported by virtually every state because they wanted an educated population capable of working in modern times and capable of critical thinking and making good decisions. And in the guise of smaller government and so-called school choice, Republicans basically have repeatedly cut funding for colleges and universities, and they've taken these public funds and supported other, you know, private, parochial, and for-profit schools. Now, when, you know, I'm an old guy, I admit that, But for about $1,000 a year, when I went to college, you could pay for tuition, books, room, and board. My son's costs for a public university tuition alone, when he graduates, will exceed $50,000. He's lucky. His mom and I could afford to pay that amount for him, but not everybody can. And especially when there's a pandemic, when the middle class is declining, literally millions of students who get a job in their chosen field can't pay off their loans that were absolutely necessary to get that job, and they can't pay them off in a reasonable period of time. It takes decades for many people.
You know, yeah, which is what led to this crisis. As well, Jack, because this isn't just individuals, as CJ is saying, young voters. It is every single age group is affected by this.
Student rich millennials.
Student loan debt is something that cannot be discharged through bankruptcy. So if you are an individual, yep, this is something you will pass on until it is paid off because of the way that the very, very predatory, in some sense, practices that these loan providers did, because you could be paying off those payments. You could be, say you are affording it, that you're making a regular scheduled payment, but you can't refinance these loans. You can't actually get out from underneath the debt that it's causing. And for far too many people, they'll pay what was the original loan taken out, but they will, with interest and the way that these things are set up, they'll barely touched a fraction of the principal after getting to the point that they've paid off in interest what the actual loan size was that they took out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That was well said, Jack. That was excellent.
Yeah, we appreciate your phone call, Jack. You could be like Jack. 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined here at 2:30 by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. But something that caught my eye, and again, on yesterday's conversation, talking about how it's very, very strange that in February we get flood warnings for southeastern Wisconsin. That is not something that is typical for our area. We are known for our winters. We get a lot of snow. And at this time of year, that should have been snow. But climate change is changing a lot of different things. And in that same vein as yesterday, we got a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Climate change is making Wisconsin's craft brewers change the way they do business. And it talks about the threat that out west, where a lot of the barley and hops that are two of the three major ingredients in beer are being threatened year after year because of drought and then hail. And so between those two factors, factoring the barley and hop production, and the fact that water is being more and more scarce, we are very fortunate here in the Great Lakes region to be able to have the amount of fresh water, part of what makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin. But again, climate change is threatening some of those things, and the amount of water it takes to produce both the hops, the barley, and then the beer in whole is being threatened by climate change. And so, really excellent article written up in length. Excellent long-form journalism by Caitlin Luby and Madeline Heim over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Not going to have an entire segment that I wanted to devote to it today.
Oh, we'll bring it up again.
We'll continue to talk about it. But this is an important one to keep in mind. If you want affordable, good quality craft beer, something that makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin as well, you got to be focusing on solving these problems and not just kicking the beer can down the road and hoping that somebody along the way is going to come and solve the problems for us. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We can still squeeze in a few of your tangents as well on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
CJ, the sauce is weak.
WAUK 548. Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. Civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Will Reeve. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on the Biden administration's student debt relief program. Missouri is among the GOP-led states suing to block the plan to forgive up to $20,000 in federal student loans. The plaintiffs claim the forgiveness plan will mean less money for its loan authority programs. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
If the Supreme Court sides with Missouri and says that those sort of far-removed injuries are still sufficient, it could lower the bar for other states to challenge the federal government. And that's something that the Solicitor General has said could open the floodgates in a way to more state challenges to Biden administration policies, really any presidential policy, simply because they don't like it or disagree with it.
Consumer confidence dipped for a second straight month. It's a leading signal for the Fed as it weighs another rate hike to help tame inflation. Residents in Northern California are bracing for another round of snow. And in Michigan, tens of thousands are still without power after last week's ice storm. Storms across the country have led to more than 500 flight cancellations today. This is ABC News.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Two major bridge projects are included in Governor Evers' budget proposal. The governor wants to set aside nearly $100 million combined in bonding for the Blatnik Bridge, connecting Duluth and Superior, and the South Bridge project of the Fox River in Brown County. Wisconsin and Minnesota will split the cost of the estimated nearly $2 billion Blatnik Bridge replacement. Transportation officials are hopeful federal money will cover the bulk of the project costs. The bridge opened in 1961. And has been deteriorating. More than 30,000 people use the bridge daily. 41-year-old Alan Bone of Rock County was arrested Saturday night for his fourth OWI. A passenger riding in Bone's vehicle was killed in 2003 while Bone was driving drunk. A Janesville officer also found 28 grams of cocaine. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll
get woke
in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to this fine program across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. I am joined now by creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. How are you doing today, Dan?
Doing well, Luke. Always good to join you on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you joining me here on a Tuesday. Doing a lot of work since last Tuesday with the spring primary that we had here in Wisconsin. So I'm glad that you got the ability to join me here on the airwaves.
Yeah, lots of opportunities to recombobulate. You know, lots to process from Tuesday's results. And, you know, I was able to write a little bit about that in my column and talk a little bit about that on a few different shows over the past week. So that's been fun.
Busy, busy. And you made it all work while continuing to cheer on the Bucks with this 14-game win streak, which is just... It's been terrific to watch. A little nerve-wracking with the fact that it seems that Giannis can't get a complete game in the last couple of attempts, but they seem to be doing all right without him on Sunday.
Yeah, but avoided major injury with the hand-wrist issue in the game right before the All-Star break, where he had kind of crashed into the stanchion under the hoop. I think there was some thought there that he might miss some time, but
he got a second opinion.
Giannis is just not built like the rest of us. So he was back on the court for the game against Miami last Friday. So
yeah, and we'll get to Giannis a little bit more later in this appearance. But it's been very interesting to see how almost superhuman he is, because during those 21 playoffs, the fact that his knee bent the wrong direction and then he was back on the court a few games later was just remarkable. So definitely glad to see that he avoided those major injuries. Hope that he'll be back on the hardwood again soon. But yeah, a lot to talk about since last Tuesday. We had the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary statewide, also local elections, including a special election for the 8th Senate District in southeastern Wisconsin. And so plenty to recombobulate around. First off, being just the takeaways, the top candidates are going to be Protasiewicz and Kelly going on for 5 weeks from today, going to be on the general election. I wasn't really making a bet because I had no idea. I was throwing out the idea that there was a potential the top two candidates were the conservative candidates, so that Doro and Kelly, because the way that they were kind of singing Kumbaya, but not really throwing jabs to start the primary. Obviously, it changed, and there was some more elbows thrown in that one. But I was concerned that possibility was out there, but not the case. Protasiewicz and Kelly being the top two candidates, and Protasiewicz pretty handedly. But I think everybody else's pause, reservation to pick the conservative-leaning candidate because it was so close, about 2 to 3 percentage points between Doro and Kelly when it was all said and done, shows that it was a pretty contested primary last week, Tuesday, Dan.
Yeah, and I think, you saw that from some of the turnout numbers. There's obviously a lot of people energized to go vote in this one, particularly you folks out in Dane County that always like to outvote us and the rest of the state here. So that's pretty interesting. But I think, like big picture, I think if you are, a liberal voter, or if you're an independent voter who just wants to see change come to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I think you have to be pretty encouraged by the results from the primary, and I think you have to be pretty encouraged by the performance of Janet Protasiewicz. One of the things that I wrote about in my column was that, her victory was not exactly like the, it wasn't totally driven by the kind of Democratic power centers in the state. She had real statewide reach in her victory and getting more than, and not just, not just winning the county. She won 45. She was the top vote getter in 45 of Wisconsin's 72 counties, but she also won more than 50% of the vote in 17 of those counties, including some of those top population centers, key swing regions. And I thought she did particularly well in, some of these areas of the state that have, been kind of drifting towards Republicans in recent election cycles. She did really well in southwestern Wisconsin. She did really well in the counties up close to Lake Superior. She actually won a higher percentage of votes in a handful of counties: Iowa County, Bayfield, Ashland, Eau Claire, and La Crosse. She got a higher percentage in those counties than in Milwaukee County. So I think that really demonstrates that her support was statewide and was not just totally driven, by Milwaukee and Madison, as conservatives like to always rip on the liberals in the state, saying that that you can't get support outside of these two power centers. Well, here's an example of a liberal candidate doing really well in a lot of those kind of swing regions. A lot of these counties are kind of those Obama Trump counties that we heard mm-hmm. so much about, after Trump won in Wisconsin in 2016, a number of those counties kind of went back to Biden. But the fact that she did really well there in the primary, I think speaks to, a potential strength in a statewide race, in April.
Yeah, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined this Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. You mentioned that column, Dan, for listeners that may be hearing about the Recombobulation Area for the first time and saying, what's that? Or that's just a sign I see when I'm going in and out of General Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit more about the Recombobulation Area.
Yeah, so the Recombobulation Area is a weekly column and online publication that I started a couple of years ago as a part-time project, writing some opinion columns, and it has grown quite a bit over the past few years, and now it's to the point where it's a full-fledged publication, small business, whatever you want to characterize it as. But you'll see, like last week when there is a big election in Wisconsin, I usually write a piece with a number of takeaways from those election results. So that's what I'm referencing here as well. And for the next 5 weeks, I'll be writing a whole lot about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
And that's a newsletter that you publish weekly at Substack. And so if listeners want to learn more about that, they can go check out the Recombobulation Area on Substack. From November to where we were last week flew by. So if that flew by, I have a feeling these next 5 weeks are going to fly by as well. And the state's on track to have the most expensive judicial race in not just Wisconsin history, but the entire nation as well in this race. So there's going to be a lot of advertising done surrounding these two candidates over the next 5 weeks. I know we're not going to try to make any predictions, but what's your sense for where we are now and where we're going to be 5 weeks from today?
Well, I think, Protasiewicz was able to have these really strong results from the primary. She has done very, really well in fundraising and is kind of out there in a way that that Daniel Kelly is not in this immediate, 1 week following the primary. She has a pretty distinct advantage right now. And I think, I think people are thinking back to the window post after the primary last year, after the August primary, when we saw Ron Johnson and his backers just flood the airwaves in the immediate aftermath of the primary and Mandela Barnes winning that primary. They just massively outspent the Barnes campaign and the other liberal groups that were involved. And I think, I think that is a lesson to the Protasiewicz campaign to be really out there and really, be aggressive and campaigning right away in this race. So I think I saw, there were some numbers floating around yesterday where she had a huge advantage. But we're also going to see, the Daniel Kelly was the favored candidate in that primary of the U lines, and the U lines are the ones who funded Ron Johnson to the degree that they did last year, and I think they have committed to spending somewhere in the vicinity of tens of millions of dollars to support Daniel Kelly in this race. So I think it's going to be an all out brawl for the next 5 weeks here, just for your eyeballs and airspace and whatever else that is going to be coming across your various screens and airwaves over the next few weeks. It's going to be a lot. And I think, you said it might set records. I think with the primary spending that we saw, with these candidates before last Tuesday, I think it might already be in range of being the most expensive election of this kind in American history.
It was close last week, and it still is February today. So yeah, these totals are getting tabulated, and there is a lot of spending for this Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin, and I have a feeling it's going to far and above exceed the previous spending limit that was set. Because if it hasn't already exceeded it yet, it will soon, and we've still got 5 weeks to go. One of the bombshells that came out since we last had you on the show as well is coming with, it's kind of a slow leak, the way that Dominion voting machines has let this lawsuit, the details from the lawsuit that they have against Fox News Corp, what I don't know the formal entity's name, but Fox News, which I really think that news needs to be dropped after yesterday's revelation. But it seems like a lot of the political landscape here in Wisconsin since 2020 has been conservatives arguing that they need the power, they need to make the changes to the way that we conduct elections here in Wisconsin, because the former guy and a lot of his allies claimed without evidence that the election in 2020 was stolen from him. And now, through this legal filing, we found out that last night, Rupert Murdoch, in a deposition, a part of these filings, basically admitted that he knew his hosts were lying, and he continued to let them lie in seek of audience so that they could have advertising dollars behind their quote-unquote news slash opinion slash entertainment, whatever you want to call it now, but it isn't just news. What are your thoughts on what's going on with this Dominion voting lawsuit against Fox?
Yeah, I think it's just, I really do think it's huge, huge news to be covering what, you know, these, the Rupert Murdoch and the Fox News hosts were saying, you know, particularly on this case. Like, you can have plenty of policy disagreements, you know, from partisan media, like you have in Fox News. But I think, you know, the fact that they knew they were lying to their audience about the election results in 2020, like, this isn't just some issue that you know, they might get caught up on, might get tripped up, get fact checked, something like this. This is the fundamentals of American democracy, and they were lying to everyone about it, and they knew they were lying to everyone about it. So I think it's just a hugely important media story. You know, Fox News is what, the biggest broadcast news media outlet, biggest cable news media outlet there is. And they are constantly questioning, you know, traditional media, mainstream media, over the way they cover things. And this is, you know, one of the biggest stories that we've had. And they are proven liars. They are proven, documented, admitted liars about the election results. And I think, you know, here in Wisconsin, we've seen so much come from these lies from Trump and from Fox News. You know, we had the Gableman investigation that lasted 14 months and spent millions of dollars. We had all of these different committee hearings under, you know, Janelle Branch, and after Robin Voss appointed her to head up the elections committee in the assembly. You know, I think even the most recent Marquette polling before the 2022 midterms was showing that, you know, the majority of Wisconsin Republican voters question the results of the 2020 election. You know, and I think it's not because there were these discrepancies. It's because the most powerful voices in the party, Trump and Fox News, were lying about it. They were just bullhorn lying about it.
Yeah. Oh, much larger, much larger than a bullhorn. It is a huge megaphone that Fox was using to put these lies, and behind the scenes, they knew they were lies. They alleged them to be true. They said, we're just asking questions. We need to figure this out. We need to make changes to improve security. And behind the scenes, they knew it was a crock, is what it comes down to. They knew it was not, there was no there. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer. We've got one more segment left in the day. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to this program across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, head over to the website. Can see all the shows, the stations, and learn to sign up where you can learn more about where our next stations may be popping up near you. I'm joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area weekly column over at Substack. You can subscribe to the Recombobulation Area there. And we're talking about this lawsuit going on between Dominion Voting Machines and Fox News and the revelations that this lawsuit is bringing out to the public, because a lot of this behind closed doors, behind the scenes, we didn't get to see this aspect of the events that unfolded after the 2020 election until now. And Dan, you alluded to a Wisconsin angle, because there's always a Wisconsin angle. There's something that the Recombobulation Area likes
always
to play
a up. Wisconsin connection.
Always.
Absolutely.
Always. And in this story, when we found out that Rupert Murdoch knew that he had hosts on this network lying about these conspiracy theories surrounding the election being stolen, there was somebody that asked him to stop spreading these conspiracy theories. And that would be former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who privately said to the chief executives over at Fox, quote, Fox News should not be spreading conspiracy theories. Mr. Ryan suggested instead that the network pivot and, quote, move on from Donald Trump and stop spouting election lies. Now, did Speaker Ryan come out and say that they were spouting these lies and that they knew that these were lies at the time? Did he resign from his position on the board over at Fox? No, he kept cashing that paycheck and just quietly said, oh, well, I'm a never Trumper, never means never, and then just kept cashing these paychecks as a member of their board.
Yeah, you know, there's always a local angle on these stories. And I think, you know, traditional media in the state of Wisconsin could really pick up on what their golden boy, Paul Ryan, was saying in these things. You know, Paul Ryan always has so much to say, but actions often speak louder than words. And his actions certainly have not backed up his words in so many different cases over the years. And as he has, you know, just completely failed in his attempts to push back on the influence of Donald Trump in the Republican Party. So, you know, I think it's an important Wisconsin story too, to be taking a look at Paul Ryan's role here. And I think, you know, he was part of this. He's part of this deception from behind the scenes, even if he was, you know, making a stink to the executives, as we're finding out in these text messages, you know, and these between he and the Murdochs and whoever else, you know. He didn't do anything.
No, he's complicit. Absolutely yeah. complicit in what happened to lead to the violence on January 6th. And the, as you pointed out in the most recent Marquette University Law School polling, that there is still doubt among Republicans here in Wisconsin and around the country of whether or not our elections are being conducted properly. And it's going to be interesting because Paul Ryan is... here in Wisconsin, we are very hyper-focused on this state Supreme Court race. It is... we are in it right now. This is the election cycle that we're in. But a lot of places around the country, they're gearing up for 2024. And Paul Ryan's been asked about his stance. The first GOP debate later this year is going to be held in Milwaukee. The RNC is coming to Milwaukee. And Paul Ryan's just like, oh, I'm not going to be there if Trump's there. And that's his firm of position that the former Speaker of the House can take on the former president. He can't actually come out with a backbone on these things and say, no, listen, we need to move on from Trump and do anything stern about it. He's just quietly saying that, oh, no, I won't be there if Trump's on the stage.
Yeah, he says this stuff in interviews. Like, I think that you're referencing an interview he gave with Matt Smith over at Upfront last weekend, and in talking about, you know, he's been making the rounds around Milwaukee in a number of just kind of like these high profile talks and whatever. But you know, it's just such an empty threat, and it's just no one seems to particularly care whether or not Paul Ryan is going to make his presence known at the RNC. This is great. Do it or don't, you know, just let's move on. And so unless he's actually willing to, I don't know, endorse a challenger candidate,
yeah,
or campaign on somebody's behalf, or actually get out there and you know, take concrete steps to denounce Trump and his influence. Like, you can say a lot of things, but his actions have certainly not supported his words over the years.
Yeah. Do you think that he'll be participating if say Trump's not there and it's a set of different Republicans? You think you'll be able to find Paul Ryan out of the bars till 4 a.m. with the proposal around the RNC coming to Milwaukee?
I think there's a real chance, you know, that I'll run into Paul Ryan on Brady Street at 4 a.m. when they're shutting down the bars. This extended time that they're offering to the RNC in the city of Milwaukee when they come to town next year. It's going to be a circus. But you know what? Maybe the recombobulation area will be out there broadcasting live at bar time at Brady Street or Water Street or wherever it might be.
Oh, you may have a handful of volunteers from civic media to say throw an event together if that is truly the case.
it's gonna get weird. I think we just got to embrace the weird, you know?
it's gonna be very weird, and we will be covering every aspect of that as it comes to Wisconsin. But that is a provision that the DNC I believe had for them as well before it got moved to a virtual convention and did not really have its footprint here in Milwaukee. One last thing, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about it with you here being on the show, Dan. Milwaukee Bucks on the 14-game win streak, going to go for 15 tonight. They are the number one seed in the East as of today because Boston lost last night. How about that is right? What are you thinking? If the Brooklyn Nets look a little different than the last time the Bucks played them with the trade deadline behind us now, you think they're getting 15 tonight? This is a prediction I'm going to put you on the spot for. Do you think they get 15?
Oh, you can't. I'm not making any predictions, but I will say, look, I think it's a high stakes game tonight because if they win tonight, they will have gone undefeated for the entire month of February. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That is a good streak to have, and it will be 15 if they win tonight. Jrue Holiday is looking like lights out. There's already conversation that he might be making second team All-Pro for the NBA, which I don't believe he's ever made any of the All-Pro teams. Did he make it his...
I'm not sure that he has, but I also think he should be getting talked up as another Defensive Player of the Year candidate because he is just he's the best perimeter defender in the NBA. bar none.
Yeah.
So.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo, when he was, I believe it was recorded during the All-Star break, but I may be wrong. He was in New York for The Daily Show and trash-talking a little bit. Hasan Minhaj writing up the script for him to trash-talk. Did you get a chance to see that one?
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was. I'd encourage anybody to check that out. Giannis is the best.
Yes, Giannis is by far the best. Milwaukee is blessed to have him. Wisconsin is blessed to have him. We're blessed to have Dan Schaefer here of the Recombobulation Area on Dueling Tangents. Really want to thank you, Dan, for joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll have you back again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you all then.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan, together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the